This is Vertical X.
Did you know that 52% of marketers support 2 to 4 roles and buyer personas with dedicated content? And the top 3 drivers of blog content strategy include personas, audience demographics, and buying stage?
Did you also know that using buyer personas makes websites 2 to 5 times more effective and easier to use by targeted visitors?
And personalized emails improve click-through rates by 14% and conversion rates by 10%? Thorough and well-defined personas are the first step in any marketing program. In order to map journeys, target, personalize, and engage, companies must have personas that define a myriad of interests, behaviors, and attitudes. But to create those personas requires an investment of time and resources. So how can organizations move forward with persona development that meets the needs of the company from a first touch through advocacy program? I'm Marilyn Cox.
And I'm Sterling Bailey, and this is Vertical X. All right, welcome to this week's episode of Vertical X. Thank you so much for joining us, guys. This week we have a fantastic guest. Katie Martell is joining us. We're going to be talking about persona development, persona management, and research. Exciting topic, but a much more exciting speaker on our show this week. And let me kind of give you, before we dive into the content, let me kind of give you a little background on Katie and why I'm so excited to have her on the show. Katie is on a mission to help companies better understand their buyers as the co-founder and CMO of Syntel. She brings experience creating buzz and driving marketing demand for B2B organizations in the greater Boston technology ecosystem. As the director of buzz, which I absolutely love that title, at NetProspects, which was acquired by Dun & Bradstreet, she accelerated the company 2x year startup to award-winning organization serving members of the Fortune 500. Katie earned her Bachelor of Science in Marketing Communications, Advertising, and PR from Emerson College in Boston, where she is a Scotch enthusiast, Scott aficionado, and a board member of the American Marketing Association Boston chapter. Please follow her at Katie Martell, pretty easy to find, her first and last name at Twitter, to find out where she is speaking next. So thank you, Katie, so much for joining us on the show today. We really appreciate you having you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. First, before we dive into the content, tell us about that title.
Well, if you work at a startup, here's the thing. You're kind of doing a little bit of everything, and so you can give yourself the title you want. And that's what happened in NetProspects, and that company grew to be pretty large. And by the time we got big enough, I think I was the only director of Buzz that I knew. But since then, I've seen a few others, so I've started a trend.
Awesome. You know, I think it's a fantastic conversation starter. I'm sad because I don't think at Oracle they'll let me change my title to anything cool like that. So I think I'll have to go work for a startup if I want to do that. But very, very cool. It's great to have you on the show. We've got a bunch of questions for you, and if we want to go deeper on any particular topic, we might do so. But for the most part, we've got kind of an agenda to stick to, and so I'll kind of start things off with this persona marketing topic. So let's set a baseline. The term persona is not new to a lot of marketers. However, what we understand persona marketing to be and what persona marketing should be tend to be different. How do most marketers approach persona marketing, and how should they actually approach persona marketing?
It's a great question, and I think it's helpful to actually look back and see where personas begin to become part of our business vocabulary. Personas actually began in the world of software development, and they were intended to help developers and engineers understand the human being on the other end of the tools and tech that they were building. And it was a way of humanizing a list of product requirements, you know, to help them make better decisions based on an understanding of that individual. Alan Cooper popularized the term in, I think, the late 90s, and it's since made its way into B2B marketing over the last 15 years or so. And today, it's certainly a buzzword, right? We hear it as a best practice from every analyst firm, any marketing technology player, and, you know, the excellent community that we have of practitioners and consultants who do persona work for companies. And so persona development has become this proven initiative for increasing the effectiveness of what we do in marketing, the sales enablement we provide, as well as product development. But unfortunately, many companies just don't have the resources in place to effectively research, create, and then share those personas internally. And so they don't realize the irrelevance of their message, for example, until after a product launch or when a campaign underperforms. In fact, Serious Decisions recently found that 60% of B2B organizations don't fully understand their buyers. And to me, it's pretty clear why this happens. I think companies tend to be the center of their own universe. You know, marketers, we become experts and obsessed with the products and the services we provide, and we forget who it's for, right? We're left with product-centric messaging that fails to connect with real people who have real problems on the other end. So persona-based marketing is nothing more than taking the time to understand the lives of the individuals who interact with any kind of purchase decision. So you can speak their language, address their problems, convey your message on their terms, and really, this should be at the forefront of a marketing strategy, not an afterthought.
So in the history that you've defined, what I think is very interesting is that personas are often developed and owned by marketing. I mean, historically, that's kind of been the case. So one of the things that I love about what Syntel is doing, and I've told people, this is my startup crush that I have, is what you guys are doing over there. Who within an organization should be leveraging personas? And then based on who should be leveraging them, how can marketing engage those other individuals in the development and use of those personas?
It's a great question, too, and thank you for your support of what we're doing at Syntel. You know, what we see is if you walk down the hall at your organization, right, and you ask your sales team, your product team, and your marketing team to describe the buyer, would the answers be the same? And I think, unfortunately, at many, especially larger, siloed organizations where these departments are in different buildings, you know, the answers, they differ. And I think marketers are increasingly being looked to as kind of the in-house resident experts on the customer in their organizations. And we saw a recent study by the ITSMA, which is the IT Sales and Marketing Association. They found that B2B marketers worldwide think that their number one priority next year, the number one thing they'll be responsible for in 2016, will actually be understanding buyers. And in this survey, it was amazing. It took the top spot over things like lead generation, thought leadership, marketing technology. And I think marketers know that buyers are changing. You know, they're more savvy about the solutions they're buying. And that means that the interactions they have with a company have to meet a new level of standards. We have to demonstrate we understand the person we're not only marketing to, but selling to and servicing to. And that means not only getting the right information to guide marketing upfront, but giving sales what they need to have empathetic conversations. I love personas as sales enablement tools to help sellers see the world through the eyes of their prospects. They become much more effective, much more powerful in what they do day to day. And this can apply to product development, to service. I mean, imagine if the full continuum, right, of all the interactions we have with the customer was driven by the same view and understanding of that buyer. In other words, you know, I think personas can and should be put into action across every single department that ever has an interaction with a customer.
Amen. I love that. That is beautiful. It's so good and so touching to be connected with other marketers that think as we do. Marilyn and I kind of preach a lot of this on a regular basis, and we talk about it. It kind of feels like we're talking to a wall on occasion. So it's great to hear somebody saying the same things that we've been saying. So fantastic. I kind of want to talk best practices next for companies that are kind of beginning to define their persona research process. What are some best practices that you could provide them?
First of all, kudos to you for getting started. It's the first, it's the hardest step to do, but once you've made a decision to kind of get going with this stuff, you are on the right path. And I think I have three simple tips that we see really helpful with customers to get started in the persona process. And number one is actually to build an internal team. Even if it's informal, you want to put together your dream persona team, right, to help you champion this process. We'd recommend representatives in sales, customer experience or support, product development, and even a C-suite member, right? They can be really helpful to get buy-in across the company for doing this kind of initiative, because it shouldn't just live in marketing. And the key here is to really be able to articulate how the insights that you're going to find through this research are going to apply and help each department do what they do. The next step is to use that internal team as a collaborative part of the persona development process. Sales and customer support individuals talk to clients every day, and they have insights from these front lines that can be really helpful. And we recommend keeping an open dialogue with them, because it helps you to stay on top of evolving trends and new priorities that are emerging in the world of your buyers. Now, that said, be really aware of the internal bias that these teams do have. I mean, don't forget, they too are operating with the products and the services that you provide at the center of their world. Although they talk to customers, that's still the top priority, right? So use research, real conversations with real buyers, and what this does is to help you dispel some of the deep-rooted assumptions that live inside your organization, especially if you've been around for a while. One of our users at Syntel actually recently conducted phone interviews with construction site safety professionals. And what they learned was that these guys were using completely different language to describe their problems and, of course, the solutions to those problems. And so this very simple insight, just a fraction of the persona research itself, was actually them understanding the voice of their customer. And it helped the company better align the word choice and the tone on their website and, of course, all of the resulting marketing messaging. It all now speaks to the buyer on their terms, literally in their words. And it's amazing what you can find out if you're willing to admit you may not know everything about your buyers.
Language, that definitely, I think, resonates. Within the industry solutions group that Sterling and I work in, we actually ran an internal campaign a couple of years ago to spread awareness amongst the organization that just because you're a marketer doesn't necessarily mean that you care about leads. Leads is not a term that's used across all industries. And so, yeah, I mean, it's incredibly important to recognize that how people term objectives and goals is going to be very different and the business jargon that they use. So one of the things that I hear a lot from organizations when we start talking persona is, well, we already have personas. We have our wonderful little PDF, and it has the picture of the individual that we would imagine to be that persona, and we followed, you know, the five steps that we need to take that we envision to create that ideal persona. So what are some initial steps that companies can take to recommit to and refresh their persona process?
I love this question, because we also hear this too, that, oh, we did our personas. We did them a few years ago. We're all set. We don't have to, spend any attention on this, right? We already did it. I think that the question I love to ask when I hear that is, oh, great, that's great. Has anything in your world as a professional changed in the last 6 months? You know, new influencers, any new legislation you have to look at, any new priorities? I mean, the answer is always yes, and I think it's kind of an aha moment, like, oh, right, things change, right? And I think we typically find that personas are really only updated when there's a marketing regime change. You know, in other words, when the CMO gets fired and a new one is brought in, for example, or when there's a new product launch or something else that kind of dictates, okay, we need to do this kind of project. I challenge that and I ask, why not think of personas as living and breathing entities? Why not have them reflect the real day-to-day environment of your buyers? You know, stay on top of topics that are top of mind for them. New laws in the market that are affecting their decisions, market conditions, new influencers, new news events. I mean, there's a lot going on in their lives. Your buyers are not static. Your personas should not be static. You know, our jobs change as constantly as our markets change. And if personas are only done once every few years, they're really useless if they're out of date. So we recommend refreshing the persona, even if it means doing another round of interviews or a qualitative survey that is done once a quarter, once every 6 months, whatever the cadence that you can support. Doing so will ensure that you and your team are constantly tapped into reality. It keeps your messaging current, and most importantly, it keeps you relevant. And that's what we're all looking for. That's the holy grail of marketing, is relevance.
Fantastic. So, Katie, I want to give you the opportunity to provide some next steps for our listeners. And I had the opportunity to play around with this Intel platform and build out a couple of personas. I actually used it for internal purposes with our internal sales team, because at Oracle, we do have a massive sales force, and the way that an enterprise sales representative within our marketing cloud would sell is very different than other parts of our industries, and very different than what we would find in the small to medium-sized business sales organization. So it was actually a really fascinating exercise to use that technology to kind of step through the process and provided some clarity on how you can really expand your knowledge and understanding of these personas. So for our listeners, where can they go to learn more about this technology, as well as you've provided some great insight? What are some other platforms where people can choose to engage with you, follow you? I know you mentioned you did a TEDx talk as well. So anything like that, any great follow-up content would be much appreciated.
Fantastic. Yeah, we're on a mission here to kind of create a customer-centric world. So we're trying to spread the message as many places as possible. And if you're a company with personas, or it's an initiative that you're considering, we'd love you to try our persona management platform. You can sign up for free, syntel.net. And what it does is help you liberate personas from these static PDF documents and instead create digital versions that you can share company-wide, collect internal feedback, and then connect to the rest of the marketing technology that you're using, plus pull in some outside information. Thank you for letting me do a plug, but you can also find more information at syntel.net. We love to blog about this topic. We're also on social media at MySyntel. And if you're going to be attending the Marketing Profs B2B Forum here in our hometown of Boston in late October this month, we're going to be presenting how to revitalize your buyer personas. And we'll also be exhibiting at the show and would love to meet marketers in person. So thank you so much for having me. This has been fantastic.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thanks for joining us. That'll wrap it up for us today on Vertical X. Thank you so much for joining. Join us next week as we will be talking with Rachel Zahn from Zog Digital. And we've got an incredible show lined up for you on that one. I'm not going to spill the beans, but it's going to be pretty cool. I'm really tempted to kind of give a hint there, but no. Just join us. You'll love it. Rachel's amazing. She'll be on the show next week. So until then, this has been Vertical X.